Hello and welcome to the Tank Slappers podcast, Autosport and the Motorsport Network's for podcast for all things two-wheeled. Welcome back to what is a slightly impromptu podcast because, of course, Yuri, we've had more drama this week with Maverick Vinales being suspended by Yamaha, being withdrawn from this weekend over allegedly trying to blow up his engine in the Styrian Grand Prix, which of my bingo card of MotoGP drama this year, I certainly didn't see this one coming.
Yeah, I think Maverick apparently tried to blow up his engine and it blowed my mind. So, it's been a hectic Thursday and I think it's going to be an interesting weekend ahead.
Yeah, I super appreciate Maverick giving me loads of work to do on my birthday yesterday. So thanks for that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Let's start with Maverick because he hasn't spoken to the media yet. Yamaha hasn't spoken to the media yet. From what we understand is that Maverick, during the Styrian Grand Prix weekend, he had a problem with his engine that the team wouldn't change initially. Then he started the second race on a better engine, I think. And then he stalled the bike. And then that's when things unraveled. And then just through that whole second race in Styria, he wasn't Maverick Vinales, he was some other guy.
Yeah, I think he was trying to show Yamaha that actually the engine had a reason to be changed. Mm. And in the end, he found it.
Yeah, well, sort of. I mean, the concept of a rev limit means you can over rev an engine, so maybe Maverick hasn't understood that. But joking aside, it's a serious thing because it's a safety issue.
Well, I think it's unacceptable behavior from Maverick. I mean, you cannot put yourself in danger yourself and other riders in danger by doing this kind of things. And I think Yamaha is very hurt, and the brand feels that the honor of the manufacturer has been really damaged by Maverick. So from then on, let's see what happens. But I don't see, I think it's difficult for me to see Maverick jumping on a Yamaha bike again this season. Well, this season and ever.
Yeah, he is, of course, in Austria right now. We have seen him in team gear as well. There's something going on with Maverick. We've known this for a while, but the relationship between him and it's almost become it's almost like he's developed paranoia because we saw his dad on Facebook making accusations. You know, we know Maverick hasn't surrounded himself with great people. And when you've got all these voices in your head already adding to the doubts that you have, it's a complicated matter mentally. And I think what doesn't help is that Maverick's a very closed guy. He doesn't really open up and he's...
Yeah. And you know, the problem is that not the first time that he shot himself. I mean, he did it in 2012, and when he decided to escape the Blue Sense Moto 3 team, coming back home, and then he spoke with a lawyer who after that became his agent, his manager, and the lawyer told him, listen, you cannot do that because it's written on your contract. So he had to come back to Malaysia, to Phillip Island, sorry, the race after, and race again, apologize to everybody and race again. So in a way, this is, in my opinion, this is much worse. But, well, it's almost similar. But it's the kind of things. And he did it again. He did it again. I mean, it's not the first time. He's got a lot of opportunities. He's an extremely talented rider. But... I mean, he's not surrounded by the best entourage.
For sure. And this was talked about by riders in the press conference on Thursday, that the people you have around you are so important. We've seen with some other riders who've had bad people around them, the effects that can have on them. I think Andrea Iannone is probably the biggest example of that.
I wouldn't say bad people, because in the end I know that Maverick Vinales' entourage wants best for him, but maybe are not the right ones.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they are not prepared enough to deal with this kind of situation. I mean, and we've had a lot of examples, not only here, but in Formula One. We've seen Lewis Hamilton with his father. We've seen a lot of people dealing with this kind of things over his career. And yesterday, I mean, on Thursday's press conference, Mark admitted that his father is always around because he enjoys paddock life, but he's only allowed, which was a word that shocked me, he is only allowed to ask about his physical conditions, his how's he feeling on the bike, but not, I mean, that's the limit. I mean, not because he doesn't know about setup, he doesn't know about the team's, you know, working things. And so I think that the riders need to set all the barriers, all the limits, and Maverick probably doesn't.
Yeah, another rider I think that kind of that had that kind of problem a long time ago was Jorge Lorenzo, and we know how bad that kind of got with his dad. And then Jorge made that change and it kind of got better for himself. I want to go back just on Maverick in terms of Maverick himself, because we have sort of we tried recording this podcast earlier, but it was a bit too loud in the track. And but I mentioned the you know, the whole issue with thing of more athletes being more open about their mental health and talking about that. And well, you're right that the Maverick situation is a bit different. It does sort of seem that there's Maverick needs to kind of look after himself mentally. And there's obviously a lot going on in his life, and he doesn't seem very good at managing that. And I think it seems that he doesn't have the right people around him to help him manage that, which I think is a big shame.
Yeah, but I would separate the cases of Maverick than the ones with, for example, Simon Biles or Naomi Osaka, because I mean those women were just not ready to show her best version, her highest performance level, because of her mental mood or status at that time. Maverick is a completely different thing. It's just bad behavior. So his behavior on the race was not professional enough for being a top rider in MotoGP. So full stop. I mean, he needs to fix all the problems he has around and all the problems surrounding him, because this is a top level sport. So, and you need to be in there and you need to behave like a top level athlete or sportsman. So, end of story. So, in that regard, he doesn't have any excuse, or it's nothing related to the mental health, because it's just a matter of behavior.
Yeah, for sure. But obviously this situation with Yamaha is breaking down for a while, and it almost seems maybe like the best thing for Maverick is not to be at Yamaha anymore straight away, let alone, you know, at the end of the year. I mean, just get away from the team, even if that means sitting out races. Of course, it looks like Yamaha probably won't put him back on a bike. They have said it'll be open to discussion, but I mean, it's hard to see that happening.
Yeah,
really.
Because I mean, don't forget that here, I think it was in 2018, Yamaha made one of the saddest statements I've ever remember, when Kuihi, I think it was Tsuji, apologized the whole team because of the bike, because of the performance level of the bike. Maverick was there, Valentino Rossi was there, and they blame the Yamaha. I mean, this guy, the project leader, blame Yamaha just to trying to leave the riders safe. So it was here. And here, he does this. So it's completely unacceptable, and I don't think Yamaha will take it without doing allowing him to jump on a Yamaha bike again.
Yeah.
I don't see how is this happening, especially for a Japanese manufacturer, which it's all, I mean, what matters the most is the honor.
Yeah. It leads on to another question about what's this going to do for Maverick going forward, because it damages his reputation. You know, a lot of manufacturers will look at what he did and go, well, you know, we spend X amount of millions building a bike. We don't want him on it. We think he's going to Aprilia next year, but...
Don't forget that he's going to Aprilia. And Aprilia is always surprising us with this kind of... I mean, don't forget that they've been waiting a year and a half for Andrea Iannone.
Yeah, but...
don't forget about that.
Yeah, that's a good point. But I do wonder, though, is that we know that CEO Massimo Rivola, of course, came from Formula One. He doesn't seem like a guy to sort of accept bullshit, let's say. So do you think this could affect, you know, Aprilia-Vignale's relationship? Because Aprilia think they're on the cusp of breaking through into the big time in MotoGP. And if Maverick is after this situation, would they want Maverick on their bike?
I don't know. I don't know what they're gonna do, especially because we're talking about Aprilia, and as you know, I'm seriously.
I know.
A brand that can wait 1.5 years for a guy like Andrea Iannone, who has been, said that he, well, that he's been sanctioned, penalized, or suspended for a long time. So you can expect anything from them, but. If I would be Aprilia, I would tell that very clear to Maverick. Listen, we hire you, but we only hire you. When you come here, you come you alone.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody around you, because we cannot risk all this money and all this, I mean, important step for the project by being ruined because you are so, how do you call that, influential? Or because your entourage has a huge influence on you.
Yeah.
So, full stop. What's the point? I mean, what's the point? I mean, he's been, seeing and feeling and hearing those paranoia since he joined Yamaha. So what's the point on Yamaha on wasting all the money, all the efforts on him?
Looking ahead to what Yamaha's situation is then, if Vinales doesn't come back, it seems the most likely solution would be to put test rider Cal Crutchlow on the bike. We tried to ask Cal about this on Thursday and he was a bit of an arsehole about it, as you would expect. You know, I don't see any way around the situation with Cal on the bike.
Well, especially, I mean, it's the most logical move. I mean, if Franco Morbidelli comes back in Silverstone with Petronas, I mean, who else can, better than Cal, can be on the bike? I mean, of course, it's the logical move. I mean, there's no need to be, like, I don't know, an engineer to think that.
Yeah. But at least SRT with the problem, because he is supposed to be replacing Morbidelli for the next race. Morbidelli won't be back at Silverstone. So do SRT just go with one bike for Rossi? Do they promote someone from Moto2? Do they look into World Superbikes? I can't remember if there's a clash that weekend with World Superbikes. So.
Considering we are in a not easy moment now here in MotoGP. We just find out that Petronas will leave the sponsorship of the Spang Racing team next year, and they're going to shut down the Moto2 and Moto3 projects. So I would say that considering that they don't have nothing to win this year, to gain this year, I think it's normal that if anybody has a problem, it would be Petronas, Japan racing team, not the official team. So, and don't forget that Cal is a test rider. So if there's a backend on a factory team, it's normal that the test rider goes there. And then Sepang Racing Team will find out the solution, which we can say that maybe Jake Dixon is one of the options because he's British in a British Grand Prix. So yeah, it's a bit of a moving the pieces and trying to be as less damaged as possible.
It's a bit of a, as you mentioned Petronas there, that was a story you broke on Thursday night that Petronas is quitting the Yamaha team. It's a bit of a sorry situation that the Sepang team have found themselves in. Are you okay? I know this week has been difficult and really dramatic, Yuri.
That was my reaction.
Yeah, far too
when
dramatic.
When I found out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sorry state of affairs that Petronas has found themselves in, because, of course, the Sepang Racing Team have found themselves in, because the team, of course, came in to MotoGP in 2019 and were brilliant and were a championship contender last year. Now, next year, they're going to get B-spec Yamahas. They're going to get... They don't have a title sponsor. Their riders are going to be, with all due respect, in the current crop, second rate, because it looks like they're going to have to promote Darren Binder up from Moto3. You know, it's going to be either Jake Dixon or Xavier here that'll probably get a second bite, because it looks like Bezzecchi's now going to be at VR46. It's just, you almost have to question why then would the Sepang team continue with the team, because they're going to have to scrap the Moto2 and Moto3 teams. It almost seems like the investment isn't worthwhile anymore.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, somebody from the team, and I can have my opinion, has ruined a beautiful MotoGP project. Somebody who was not used to deal with a racing team and who wanted to be protagonist. That's all why... Or what I want to say about that,
because
in the end, I mean, yeah, they came in 2019 when they started the MotoGP project, not the Moto2 and Moto3. When they enjoyed the MotoGP grid, they said we are gonna. Our aim, our target is to be the satellite, the best satellite team on the grid. And then 3 years later, ciao ciao. So this is not the way a big company and a big management does the things. That's my opinion. And I'm not talking about Stigefell and Wilco, of course because they know what they're talking about. They are big teams of the real responsible.
Yeah, and it's a big shame in terms of Moto3, because, you know, we've lost the Monlau competition team over the past couple of years. You know, it looks like Grassini, there's rumors that Grassini might not be in Moto3 as next year.
I think it's going to be in Moto3.
Sepang Racing Team disappearing. We're losing a lot of big breeding grounds for young riders, and it's a shame, but you know, that's the situation. We'll wrap up there, I think, Yuri, because I don't want you to have any more attacks. And also,
I would probably not survive another one.
Yeah, well, it's just too much. A week of announcements like this is crazy. Thanks for taking the time out. I know it's been busy for you, Yuri, and we'll speak to you again next week after the race when hopefully things have calmed down. But until then, it's a very warm goodbye.